The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you. It's a cold day today. Of course, this is earlier in the week, but it's cold and a little bit snowy. But God is good, and we're here today just to talk a little bit about life being a journey that we're on. And today we're going to look at some scripture because life is a journey for all of us. And I believe that journey is not always easy. There can be hard days and probably many difficult nights. Sometimes it seems like maybe one hardship goes into another. A trial maybe lasts for a long time and we can't seem to get out of it. And on and on it goes. Sometimes we pray for months and even years before we get the answer to what we've prayed about. But God's promises are sure and they are true. And he'll never, ever let us down. He may not answer the way that we want, but he will make a way for us. Sometimes when we get discouraged, we can feel like giving up and walking away from the Lord, or we quit praying, or we even may quit going to church. And where would you go if you quit this journey with God? Where would you go? You can never really get away from him. In Psalm 139, it says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit up and when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, and you see me at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake, you are still with me." So we can't really get away from God, even though we say, "I'm done, I quit, I'm not going to pray anymore, I'm not going to do any of that." I came to a place in my own life where I said to my husband, "I'm not going to church anymore until I can find out if God is really real." And find out that he's real is what happened. And so I wrote out in my journal, is God really real? Who would be able to answer that question? Of course he's real. Well, then why ask the question? How could I possibly not know the truth of that statement? When I was raised in a church setting since I was 8 years old, how could I have taught children, sang the songs about God and what he's done for us, felt God wanted me to follow him in some type of ministry, went to Bible college, and the list goes on. How could this be? How could now in my heart I'm saying, "God, I don't know if you're really real"? It didn't really matter why the questions. It was in my heart, and it had to be answered. Something was keeping me from seeing the truth. So began the long journey of learning, of healing, of truth, of forgiveness. Our journey starts when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Our journey with God, through all the things, ups and downs and everything, it starts right there. But why are we on this journey? What has caused us to be on this journey with God? Well, it happened with John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, then our journey through this life with God starts there. In our walk on this journey, if we are to follow Jesus, then there are definitely some things we should think about and know. Okay, so now we belong to Jesus, and God loves us so very much. Believing that you belong to God is very necessary in order to keep from being discouraged and want to walk away. You and I have to believe that we belong to God. We do not belong to in this world. We do not belong to anybody. We belong to God. And we've got to get that deep within our spirits and our hearts for us to know God is there for us. And this journey with God is worth all it takes. This morning, I want us to look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 17. As for us, Paul talking, we can't help but thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, and through your belief in the truth, he called you to this salvation when you heard the good news. Now you can share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teachings we passed on to you. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort, a wonderful hope, may he comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do or say. That scripture is just absolutely the most wonderful scripture, because these verses really tell the steps in our salvation. It says in there that you were loved. You were loved by the Lord. You were chosen. You experienced salvation because you believed. When we believe is when all the faith just takes hold and we can grab on and say, I believe in God. I believe God is real. I believe. And when we believe in that gospel, that's part of what the scripture is talking about. But it also says that you were called. God called you out. God called me out. God called us to have this wonderful salvation. And then it says you share in Christ's glory. You know, God had a purpose in history. He's not just making things up as we go. He doesn't say, well, today, maybe I'll let Flow go through something. Maybe she needs a little more faith. That's not the way he works. He has a purpose for everything that he does. Everything in the universe plays a part in the outworking of God's plan. If we believe that everything in our lives is a hit and miss affair, if we think that the events of each day just happen by chance, then I think we become prisoners of our own circumstances. because that's not how God works. And so if we're just going to look at circumstances and say, this is not worth it, I'm going to walk away, then we're not following what the Word of God is telling us and what we believed when we accepted Jesus Christ. How much better to believe that our God is working out His plan for us in everything that happens to us, the good and the bad. Yeah, there's going to be good things that happen, and we see answers to prayer, we see praise, we see as we praise, the joy that comes from that, as we walk with God, we begin to see things more spiritually, we begin to know God. If you believe that God has a plan for your life, then you can keep going on this journey. But we have to know that God has a plan for us. Otherwise, it's just too easy to walk away. If you ever read Pilgrim's Progress, where a Christian keeps walking, but there's always something to try to stop him from getting to his goal, which is heaven. And I've appreciated that book very much, because he wants to sit down and give up, but he doesn't. He continues to go. And sometimes he has to go backwards before he goes forward, but he does get through. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "So then if you know all this, and you've been loved and chosen, and you believe the gospel, and you were called, and you share in Christ's glory, then stand firm and hold on." 2 Thessalonians 2:15. We need to know that God is sovereign over every detail of our lives. Not just the big things, the little things. We need to know that He is sovereign over our lives, and that we can trust Him completely, even when our circumstances are spinning out of control. And we all know that sometimes that happens. He is God, and I'm not. I just need to hold on. When we understand that Jesus is Lord, not me, Jesus is Lord. I am not the Lord of my own life anymore. I've given it to Jesus Christ. And so therefore, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus is the Lord of your life. And we have to know that. It will make our journey easier to know that He is the Lord and He's in charge. We are not in charge. I remember in my own life, when my spiritual eyes were opened, to see the fact God sent someone into my life to help me see that Jesus is the Lord of my life, and that I needed to wholly surrender to Him. That if I didn't, then I would just go back and forth and vacillate between my own way and God's way. But when you find out that Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you give in to what He wants and not what I want or you want. After all that I went through, some deep healing from my past, some things had happened, and I saw that Jesus is Lord, and so I began, this healing began in me. I didn't do anything except pray and ask for my heart to be, to know God, and somebody prayed for me, and life just began to change. And I went through some deep healing from my past, but I was getting agitated, because if I had to go through this all over again, I already went through it once. Why should I have to remember all those bad memories and all of those things? I was getting, like I said, really agitated when one day I went out on my deck at our house and I heard Jesus speak to me. It was so powerful that I turned to look to see if someone was behind me talking. And all I heard was, "Be still and know that I am God. And it was this booming voice inside said, be still and know that I am God. And even to this day, when I think of it and when I say those words, I hear the Savior say to me, be still. I know what I'm doing in your life. Trust me. I looked the verse up and found out that it was in Psalm 46, 10. And I knew then that my life would never be the same. Because it would not be my way any longer. It would be God's way and what God wanted for me. And would I say I was a carnal Christian? I don't know. I never worried about what I was before. I just knew that God changed me somehow through that. That verse has been my life's verse all these years, which would be about 45 years, 50 years. Yeah. Almost 50 years it's been my life's verse, because anytime I get discouraged, anytime I'm agitated or I don't understand the circumstances in my life, I go to that verse, be still and know that I am God. And I say, God, I'm going to be still and I'm going to listen to you so that you can tell me what I need to hear. Because many times we need to hear from God and we're not quiet enough to hear because we're talking or we're saying, I don't understand why this is happening and I don't this and that, you know, and we just need to be quiet. Just be quiet and listen. God is there in the stillness. And this life verse has carried me through many, many struggles. Walking this journey with Jesus in control is the only way to walk in peace and contentment. Let me promise you that. Oh, I still can become discouraged if I allow it. But knowing I can't walk there, I won't have what I need if I stay in discouragement. I go back to the beginning of where I began to feel discouraged, and I pick that up and I give it to Jesus and I say, I don't know how this happened, but somehow I have gotten discouraged. Jesus, encourage my heart again. Encourage me to know that you're Lord. Encourage me again to be still and know that you are God. We have an enemy of our souls who wants to tear us down. But turning to God and speaking the name of Jesus causes us to get right back where God wants us. Some truths that can sometimes help us in times of discouragement as we speak them are, we can say the Bible is true. God is holy. He's just and he's good. His mercies toward us endure forever because the word says so. Jesus is Lord. And that's probably one of my favorites because I can say, Jesus is Lord. And as you say these things, your heart becomes encouraged. His blood cleanses us from every sin. He rose from the dead on the third day. And he lives in heaven. He didn't stay in that grave. He is alive, and he is alive today in our hearts. He is alive today in your heart because you know him, and he is alive today in my heart because I know him. One day he will return to earth, and one day we will see him as he is. And maybe the other thing would be, the God who created me has a purpose for my life. And we all need to ask God, what is the purpose that you have for my life? What do you want me to do? Not maybe a long way from now, but what do you want me to do today? What is your purpose for me today? A prayer we need to pray is, May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. The same scripture that goes with the first part of the verse that we read earlier. First, we must remember that God is the source of all power. He alone can help us in the time of trouble. There's nowhere else sometimes that we can turn. We have to turn to God. All the resources of heaven are at our disposal. Second, remember what God has already done for us. That's a really good one, because when I begin to look back at what God has done in my life and where he's brought me from to where I am today, it's not a matter of climbing the ladder like it was when I was in real estate. You climb the ladder of success to get to where you want to be. But here it's just growing in the knowledge of the Lord and learning to love him more, allowing him to shine in your life. Let the light of God shine out of you for others. It's a very important thing for all of us to do. He loves us. He encourages us. He gives us hope. He has solved every problem by taking care of our past, our present, and our future. We need to pray for an encouraged heart. And we can do that by praying the word. We can do that when times of trouble in our life, we can pray, God, encourage my heart. Encourage my heart to stand with you and know that you're in control of my life. I've given my life to you. And so I know that you're big enough to take care of this problem. You're big enough to take care of this trial. You're big enough to know that you know me. And so therefore you know what is next and you know how I react. And so Father, the beautiful thing about it is you know all about us because you formed us, you made us. When we are encouraged, we will face the trials of life with hope. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from the 1800s, said, "The stable heart is fixed on the Lord." We also pray for a stable heart. The stable heart is fixed on the Lord, is not swaying back and forth by circumstances and emotional mood swings. Let me read that again. The stable heart is fixed on the Lord and is not swaying back and forth by circumstances and emotional mood swings. The mark of the stable heart is consistency, so that we're not up here on the mountain today and then down and then up and then down and then up. But no, because of who God is and what he has done in our lives, we live a consistent life. And sure, we're going to have our dips down and we're going to have our high mountains sometimes where we're just so encouraged and we're so excited. And the next day we may be here. But our goal is to have a consistent heart, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he lives in you, then we too should be that way. We are the same today, yesterday, and forever. You are the same because Jesus is the same, no matter what happens around you. Now go back again to that first scripture. You are loved. So if you're loved, stand firm. If you were chosen by God, I was chosen by God, stand firm in that you've been chosen as a child of God. You were called to salvation. I was called to salvation. Stand firm in that. You know God. You were called to salvation. You believed the gospel. Stay firm. Stand firm. You believed. You will one day share in Christ's glory. Stand firm in that. You have received God's comfort. Stand firm. And when you need it, you go back and you say, God, I need your comfort. And he'll already be there, ready to give it to you, ready to give it to me. You have a good hope by grace. Stand firm. You were established in every word and deed. Now, that's what that scripture said. So stand firm. In a nutshell, since God has chosen you for salvation, stand firm. And trials of life, knowing that God will encourage you and make you strong on the inside so that your life will be filled with joy and good deeds. Our biggest goal through our journey should be to know God, not to just get through trials. You know, in Romans 8, no, let's see. No, that's not right. In Hebrews 12, the word talks about Abraham believing God, and it was counted for righteousness. They believed God. All of these Old Testament people believed God and believed that they would get the answer. Many of them did not see the answer, but it was still their faith that brought them through. And in Hebrews 12:2 for us, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses, which is all of the people who have gone before us, who have walked the walk, who have known that Jesus is Lord, who have known that they can stand firm and have an encouraged heart. All of those who have gone before, they are a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. I liked that. It came from the Living Bible. But it says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The lady that prayed for me years ago, when I wanted to know if God was really real, one of the things that she said to me that I never forgot was, when you begin to feel down, keep your eyes on Jesus at all times. I've tried to put that in practice. And I've prayed much about, Lord, help me to keep my eyes fixed on you, to know that you know all about everything. And so if I keep looking at you, then I will know that you know what I need, when I need, and how I need it. So let's look at another verse, Philippians 3:12-14. The Apostle Paul said, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. You say, but I can't forget the past. But you can. Because first of all, Scripture says, forget it. And if we go by Scripture, it would never be in there in Scripture if you couldn't forget. Now, there's probably things that are coming up in our lives that help us, that want us not to forget. But I did not. I had a hard time with forgetting some of the past. But for me, it started with the acceptance of the past. The past is over, and I had a hard time accepting the fact that I was abandoned by my mother. When I went through the healing, it just kept coming back and back and back, and I couldn't get through it. And I think that's why I felt so agitated. It was like, why am I here? I'm 30-some years old, and here I am, you know, still thinking about this 30 some years ago that I was abandoned. Well, basically, I didn't want to be an abandoned child. Well, I was. And when I could get that down and say, I was, and so what? God knows about it. God knew about it. And I think some of my problems later on was because I probably subconsciously thought if there really was a God, why didn't he do something about it? I don't really go there anymore, think about it. I just know that it's in the past and I have accepted it. So if you struggle with forgetting the things in the past, find out if you're really accepting that it happened. We either make excuses for why things happened or we take the fault that it happened. It doesn't matter. We have to leave the past and look forward to what lies ahead on this journey with Jesus Christ. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. The other thing, forgive. Forgiveness is very, very important in forgetting the past. Forgiveness, where forgiveness is necessary. If there's no unforgiveness, don't be concerned. But if there is, give it to God, because you're not going to go very far if we have unforgiveness. None of us are. If I hold unforgiveness, I'm not going very far in my Christian faith, because it's totally against God, totally against what he tells us to do. We need to learn what true forgiveness is. We need to know that God forgives us, and therefore we forgive one another. And we forgive others who have hurt us. And I know many people have been hurt so badly. I understand that. But it can never, ever, don't let it ever stand in the way of your journey with Jesus. Because it is the most important thing that you can do in your life, is to walk with God. Our journey means taking one day at a time, just like one foot in front of the other. We cannot take a week at a time. We take one day at a time. And as we do that, we can follow God. If we're worrying about what next year is going to bring, however, I hope it's better than 2020, but if we're worrying about what's going to happen next year or the next year or the next, it's just going to keep our minds in turmoil. We just need to release that to God and say, God, one day at a time, I'm just going to walk with you. I want this journey. And I think we need to tell God, I want this journey. I want to walk close to you. I want you to have your way in my life. I want to commit myself to you. I want to surrender everything to you. And I believe as we do that, God hears our prayers. And when we do that, we find release from our own way. And it's a wonderful walk with God that we can have. Spending some time in each day in prayer and in the Word of God. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. But you need to spend time, because walking this journey is growing. And if we're not growing each day, we need to wonder why. And so the Word of God helps us grow. Prayer helps us grow. It makes us intimate with God. It causes us to know God. You know, Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Yeah, we all like the power, but he also said, in the midst of his suffering, let me know him in suffering. Let me know the power of his resurrection. And you know, that power resides in all of us, that same resurrection power. Jesus gives us power to overcome anything that is set before us, that he wants us to do, we can do, even me doing this today. God has provided what we need in this journey of life. The beauty of walking with him is he gives us free choice every day. What a wonderful God we serve. I mean, he doesn't stand over our head with a stick and say, no, you do it this way, you do it this way. He gives us free choice every day. He doesn't say you have to be in the Word every day. He doesn't say you have to pray to me every day. He wants that intimacy. He loves us so very much that he wants us to walk with him. He wants that time with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to grow into his likeness. He wants us to be like him. He doesn't demand anything from us. He wants us to obey his commandments because it's going to help us in our walk with God. He wants us to listen because we love him, not because we have to do something. We don't walk in legalism. We walk in freedom of choice, of knowing that God is a great God and he loves me so much and I love him so much, but mostly because he loved me first. And he has accepted us, all of us. He has accepted us to be his. He loves us so much and desires to be with us all. So as we pray and listen to him, he shows the next step in this journey and each step after that until we see him face to face. Psalm 48:18 says, he will be our guide even to the end. I found myself singing a song this week, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And I was thinking about Ruth Stock, if many of you remember Ruth. And it was one of her favorite songs. And she would always say, all the way he has led me, what have I to ask beside? I'd like to read that song to you. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are with us on this journey. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to have this journey, the journey where which we commit everything to you, make you Lord of our life, make you the one that shows us where to go and how to go, the one, Lord Jesus, that many of us long for, to know, to worship, to know that you are beside us in all we do, in our praises, in our tears, in the times, Lord Jesus, when we don't understand, but you know what we need. And we today submit our lives to you, Lord Jesus, in a new way. Let us walk this journey with you in joy, knowing that you are the one that we want to see someday face to face. Oh, Lord Jesus, what a wonderful God you are. And we thank you today, Jesus, that you know the way and that you're going to lead us and you're going to guide us. I pray today, Jesus, for anyone that has not accepted this salvation. I pray, Lord Jesus, that after today, they would know you, that they would come to you, that they just have to come and say, I surrender my life to you. I accept you as my Savior. I believe that you're the God that I'm looking for. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them pray that prayer, that they are a sinner and that they want to come and be totally cleansed from their sin. Help us as Christians, Lord Jesus, as we walk with you, that others will see that we know Christ and that the light from us will shine to them and they will want to know who you are. Help us, Lord Jesus, to spread this wonderful gospel, because this journey with you is so worth it. It is a life that is never the same once we touch you, Jesus. And we thank you for that. We give you all the praise and the glory. And thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Go in God's peace.